Emma murmured. She didn't know what else to say. So you're trying to tell me you have a child out there somewhere? The angry expression drained off his face and was replaced by one of absolute sorrow. I wish that were the case. Emma couldn't help but reach across the table and take his hand in hers. What happened? She prodded. The waitress returned with his beer, and Aiden downed half of it before speaking again.
A few weeks before I found out she was pregnant, Amy and I had been out partying with some friends, and I got plastered. That night, as I was digging around in the medicine cabinet for some Advil, I accidentally knocked her birth control in the sink. You can imagine how surprised I was when it was unused, not to mention the prescription hadn't been refilled in 2 months. When I confronted her, she admitted she'd stopped taking it because she thought a baby would solidify our relationship.
Aiden shuddered.
I was furious. I packed my things and left for my parents. I refused to talk to her or see her.
He leaned forward on his elbows.
Kind of like what you've been doing to me.
Emma rolled her eyes. Finish the damn story, Aiden. He held up his hands.
Fine, then. She eventually came to my office and showed me the pregnancy test.
He gave Emma a sad smile.
The fact that the Amy I thought I knew and loved had betrayed me by trapping me into getting married was terrible. But the worst part was the fact I was scared out of my freaking mind at the prospect of being a father at 24.
He took 2 long pulls from his beer.
I'm sure you can imagine what happened next.
Her stomach turned at the prospect. Go on, she instructed. He sneered at her.
You want me to actually say the words?
Fine. That's when Amy caught you screwing another woman?
Yes,
he croaked. Emma narrowed her eyes. Wow, I guess we have a lot in common. Maybe we should get t-shirts that say we were both fucked over by Aiden Fitzgerald.
Em, please.
She huffed out an exasperated breath. Fine, continue.
Amy threw me out of the house that night. The next morning I went back over and tried to reason with her. I told her I was sorry that I loved her and that in spite of what had happened between her trying to trap me and then me screwing someone else, I still wanted to marry her. She wouldn't have it. She got into the car and sped away.
Emma's brows shot up in surprise at the tears sparkling in Aiden's eyes.
She ran a stop sign in the subdivisions trying to get away from me. A car smashed into the driver's side. Thankfully, she walked away with just a few scrapes and bruises.
His chest rose and fell in harsh pants,
but she miscarried later that day.
Involuntarily, Emma reached out and took Aiden's hand in hers again. His expression, his tears, and his words broke her heart. All the pieces of his puzzle finally fell into place. All these years you felt guilty about the baby, haven't you? He nodded, swiping the tears from his cheeks.
I never wanted it, and then I killed it.
He started sobbing then. Emma chewed her lip and fought herself from rising out of the booth and going over to him. Her better judgment lost out, and she found herself cradling him in her arms. The old Aiden, she knew, would never have cried, least of all in public. He was absolutely broken by the ghosts of the past and present. She rubbed wide circles over his back. You're not to blame for what happened with the baby, Aiden, any more than Amy is just because she was driving too fast and ran the stop sign. Accidents happen. Raising his head, he swiped the tears from his cheeks.
Accidents may happen, but people never forget them or forgive them.
Emma ignored the double meaning of his statement in regards to her. I'm sure time has helped to heal any bad feelings Amy had for you. I'm sure she's struggled with her own guilt over what she did to you by trying to trap you. He shrugged.
I hope so. She certainly helped to screw me up for every other woman.
His blue eyes honed in on hers.
Maybe it's me who can't forgive. If it hadn't been for her, maybe I wouldn't have fucked things up so epically with you.
Maybe, she murmured. His fingers came to grip her chin. Tilting her gaze up to meet his, he shook his head.
For the most part, our proposition was about me getting the chance to have sex with you, and I did promise my late mother I would one day have children. But it was also about being able to find redemption with myself and with God. I thought if I could help you bring a baby into the world, it might take away the hurt of the past.
Emma's mouth dropped open in surprise. For a few moments, she could only stare at him in utter and complete shock. All this time, he really had possessed a deeper, more admirable desire for wanting to be her sperm donor.
"Do you hate me now because of that?"
She shook her head wildly back and forth. "No, how could you even think that?"
"It's just you were staring at me and not saying anything. I thought you might feel used or deceived."
"That's not it at all. In fact, I was thinking much more highly of you because of what you told me."
"Really?"
"I'm glad having Noah is a way you feel you can repent for what you did. It's never too late for redemption, Aiden." A hopeful look entered his tortured eyes.
"I'd give anything and everything in this world to redeem myself with you. Just please, please give me the chance."
Emma couldn't hold the intensity of his desperate gaze any longer. Staring down at her lap, she fought to breathe. Her mind whirled with trying to process her out-of-control thoughts, while her chest heaved with emotion. Did she really want to give him the chance to redeem himself? Could she actually do that to herself and her heart? And if she denied him, how was she even to have him a part of Noah's life without letting her feelings get in the way?
"Please, Em," he begged.
"I guess I can try," she finally replied. When she glanced back up at him, his blue eyes shone with determination. "I'm not making any promises." He smiled.
"I can take that. I can take whatever you're willing to give me."
Jenny interrupted them by bringing over their check. "Would you like some dessert?" Emma laughed when she appeared to be asking her more than Aiden. She patted her very full belly. "No, I think I'm good." Aiden swept his hand inside his jacket pocket for his wallet. Without even glancing at the bill, he stuffed a wad of cash in the envelope. When Jenny started to protest at his generosity, he shook his head.
"I owe a lot more than that to you and your dad for taking care of me in the last few weeks."
"We were happy to do it." Jenny leaned over and gave Aiden a quick hug. "Just promise to take care of yourself and we'll call it even, okay?" He nodded as his eyes burned into Emma's.
"I'm already feeling like my old self again."
She cocked her eyebrows at him. "Let's hope that's not every aspect of your old self," she said, rising out of the booth.
"Damn, Em, do you always have to shred me with those freaking claws of yours?"
he grumbled as he stood up. Jenny threw a worried glance between the two of them before forcing a smile to her face. "Well, I hope to see you guys again soon." Emma gave Jenny a reassuring smile. "Thanks, you." After giving her a quick hug, she started out of the bar. Aiden hurried to catch up with her. He stepped in front of her just before she could open the door. "Thank you," she mumbled, trying to ignore the little zap of electricity she felt when his body touched hers. She edged away from him as they started back to his car. The drive over to the VFW was silent, except for the muted sound of the radio playing love songs that were like spikes to her broken heart. When they pulled up to her abandoned car, she didn't want to leave him. Her brain screamed for her to pick up her hands and feet and get going. Finally, as her hand reached for the door handle, Aiden grabbed her shoulder.
"Wait!"
he cried. Chapter 5 Aiden's chest tightened at the prospect of letting Emma out of his sight for even a second. They had come so far in the last few hours, he was afraid it might all fade like a dream if they didn't remain together. He was desperate for anything to keep her with him. A thought flashed in his mind and he blurted,
"Can I see Beau?"
Emma stared down at her lap. He could tell she was raging a battle within herself about whether to let him come over.
Please? He pressed.
Her shoulders sagged, but she raised her head and smiled. Of course. I mean, he does miss you. Aiden gave a bark of a laugh.
I doubt it. He chose you over me, didn't he?
He was then assaulted with the painful memory of the night Emma caught him with Heather. The sight of Beau running after Emma, nudging her stomach and whining to go with her, cut through to his heart the same way it did that night. Shuddering, he forced a smile to his face.
I'm sure he's too busy eating table scraps and lying around on your couch to miss me.
No, he really does. After all, you were his daddy for 2 years.
Good, because I've missed him.
He leaned over the gear shift towards her.
I've missed him every moment of every day.
Her green eyes widened, both at his proximity and the fact that they both knew he wasn't talking about Beau anymore. The electricity crackled all around the two of them. You can follow me home.
Thank you.
He waited until she was safely in her car and cranked up before he pulled out of the parking space. On the way to her house, his fingers drummed anxiously against the steering wheel. Even though it wasn't more than 10 minutes, he couldn't seem to get there fast enough. Hope pulsed through him that she might finally forgive him and fully let him back into her life. As he started to pull into the driveway, a yard sign caught his eye. Squinting in the darkness, he gasped at the recognition of the realty sign. The words, "for sale," sent a stake through his heart. Animosity overwrought the amorous feelings he had pulsing through him. He screeched to a stop barely off the road. His blood pounded in his ears as he clambered out of the car and slammed the door. He was at Emma's side before she had time to close hers.
You're moving?
Shrinking from his anger, she pressed herself against the car.
Yes,
she whispered. Shame washed over him that his reaction had frightened her.
I'm sorry for shouting at you, but how could you not tell me?
I was going to, she argued.
When, the day the moving van came? Christ, Emma, we've been together all night. I unveiled my heart and soul, yet you couldn't manage to tell me this one little detail?
I'm sorry.
He was afraid to ask the next question because deep down he already knew the answer.
And just where are you going?
I'm moving back home, to LJ. I'm gonna live with Grammy and Granddaddy for a while until the house sells, and then I might find a place of my own close by them. They're getting older. Granddaddy fell off a ladder a week ago and just had to have hip replacement surgery. They need me, but more importantly, I need them. He shook his head.
I won't let you take my son from me.
Emma's green eyes narrowed into angry slits.
Don't you dare threaten me like that. You know I would never keep you from Noah. Just because I don't live here doesn't mean you won't get to see him. LJ is a fucking hour and a half away. How will I get to see him when he's that far from me? Are you going to put me on some visitation schedule? Like every other weekend or some bullshit?
She rubbed her temples. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just know I can't stay here anymore. Alone.
Damn it, Emma. I can't believe you could be so cold.
She jerked her chin up and glared at him so hard that he took a step back.
You asshole! How dare you accuse me of being cold? I'm not the one who cheated and ruined everything between us.
I didn't sleep with her,
he protested. Emma threw her hands up.
The fact you couldn't get it up or I interrupted you is irrelevant to the point, Aiden. You brought some stranger into your home on the pretense of screwing me out of your heart and mind.
He grimaced.
I've said it a million times in a million different ways that I'm sorry.
I know you have, but just like I told you back at O'Malley's, I would work on forgiving you, and it's going to take a hell of a lot of time. So don't expect me to fall into your waiting arms like nothing ever happened anytime soon. I had a life before you, and I'm going to have one after you.
She turned and stalked away.
Em, wait.
When she kept on walking, he called,
Fine. You want even more grand gestures? Here's another one.
He sank down onto his knees on the sidewalk. When Emma whirled around, her eyes grew wide.
What are you doing?
He gazed around them.
What the hell does it look like I'm doing? I'm on my knees, totally and completely begging you to forgive me.
Get up!
She hissed when a couple walking their dog paused to stare at them.
Not until you forgive me.
She growled in frustration. I said it would take time, so quit being dramatic. He shrugged.
Fine. Call me a drama queen. Call me any fucking name in the book. Just get all the anger and hate out of your system so you can work on forgiving me tonight.
He opened his arms wide.
I said it on cards, in text messages and voicemails, and even in that fruity book of poetry I sent you, but now I'm going to say it to your face in case it's the only other chance I have.
Suddenly, in that moment, Aiden didn't feel so sure of himself. He drew in a ragged breath.
I am sorry, Emma. I'm so sorry for breaking your heart. I'm sorry for being an utter prick and being afraid of my feelings for you. Most of all, I'm sorry for screwing up the perfect life we had by pushing you away and cheating on you.
Emma's face flushed with warmth as the woman on the sidewalk gasped. Aiden turned to her.
Yeah, that's right. I'm one of the countless assholes who break women's hearts. I couldn't tell Emma I loved her, and I almost screwed another woman trying to push her away.
He smacked his palms hard against his chest.
But from the depths of my heart and soul, I'm so, so sorry. Jesus, dude, have you lost all your pride?
The man questioned, which caused the woman to punch him in the arm. Aiden chuckled.
Yeah, I have. Because I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win her back.
He pointed to Emma and smiled at her. When Emma strode over to him with a determined look, Aiden felt his hope rising. It quickly faded as she grabbed him by the hair and yanked his head up. Get off my front walk this minute or I'm going to call the cops. She shook her head maniacally. I can't believe you just embarrassed me in front of my neighbors like that.
I thought you wanted a man who would say how he truly felt.
She rolled her eyes.
This, she said, motioning wildly to him, is not what I had in mind.
Fine,
he said, pulling himself off the ground. He leaned closer to her and cocked his eyebrows.
But can you honestly say you weren't the tiniest bit impressed by that?
The corners of her lips pulled up, and he could tell she was fighting not to smile. Maybe a little.
Aha! I knew it!
Come on, let's go inside before you can be more of a twat waffle tonight. He burst out laughing.
What did you just call me?
It's one of Casey's words.
Let me guess, it's probably one of Casey's words for me.
She nodded as she unlocked the front door. Yes, but with some stronger expletives along with it.
I figured as much.
Have a seat. I'll go let Beau out of the basement. When Aiden eased down on the couch, a memory flashed in his mind of making love to Emma in the very same spot, before they went to see her grandparents for the first time. He heard Beau long before he saw him racing around the corner.
Hey, boy,
he cried, rising up off the couch. At the sight of Aiden, Beau went into full freak-out mode, with his whole body wiggling while he whined and cried. He barreled into Aiden, knocking him back down onto the couch. Then he went to licking Aiden's face, hands, and any other body part he could get his tongue on. Emma laughed.
See, I told you he missed you.
Beau barked a few times as if in agreement, and then went back to slurping his tongue over Aiden's face.
Okay, boy, I missed you too.
Aiden rubbed over Beau's back and then patted his head.
Now sit down, Beau, and be a good boy. Emma instructed.
To Aiden's surprise, Beau obediently slid down onto the floor and sat stock still for Aiden to pet him.
Damn, I can't believe you've gotten him to obey.
It's taken some time.
Did you take good care of Mommy while I was gone?
Aiden asked, scratching Beau's ears. At her sharp intake of breath, he glanced up at her and winked.
He's been wonderful company, especially at night, she replied softly.
I can imagine. The nights alone have been hell on me.
Emma opened her mouth to say something, but then suddenly wagged her finger at Beau.
Stop that licking, or I'm going to put the cone of shame back on you.
Aiden laughed as he patted Beau's back.
Don't be so uptight, Em. He's just a dog. Let him lick himself if he wants to.
She shook her head. If he keeps licking like that, he's going to cause an infection with his stitches from his surgery.
Surgery?
Aiden repeated lamely.
What happened to him?
When Emma didn't respond, Aiden glanced up to see her flushing and ducking her head.
Oh, no.
She couldn't have gone there. She wouldn't have done that. Taking Beau by the collar, he turned him slowly around. At the sight of his lost manhood, he sucked in a breath.
You had him fixed?
Emma nibbled on her bottom lip. The vet suggested it. He said it would help Beau calm down and make it easier for him to get acclimated when Noah's born. Aiden rose off the floor.
Jesus, Em, first you wanted my balls on a skewer, and now you had to take my dogs?
I never wanted your balls, she huffed in protest.
Symbolically you did.
She rolled her eyes. But look how much calmer he already is. Aiden glanced at Beau. As much as he hated to admit it, he was way more relaxed.
Yeah, well, you should have consulted with me first. He's my dog.
She winced as if in pain. She took a few slow steps before easing down into the chair.
Whoa, wait a minute. Don't walk away. We're not through discussing this. Em?
When she didn't respond, he walked around the side of the chair. He squatted down in front of her. His heart jolted to a stop and restarted at the anguished expression etched on her face.
Em, what's wrong?
I'm cramping.
She closed her eyes and her chest rose and fell in harsh breaths.
It hurts really bad.
Fear crashed over Aiden's head.
Come on, let's get you to the hospital.
Before she could protest, he took her hand and helped her out of the chair. She whimpered and clutched her abdomen.
I'll carry you if you need me to, he said.
No, I can make it, she replied.
He wrapped his arm around her waist to steady her.
Stay, Beau,
he called over his shoulder. Beau whined, but reluctantly he sat down in the foyer. When they started out the door, Emma froze.
My purse.
I'll get it.
He whirled around and went to snatch it from its place on the floor. He then returned to Emma's side to help her out of the door and down the porch steps.
You want to take your car since it's closer? I can move mine.
She shook her head. No, no, yours is fine.
How's the pain?
Intense,
she panted.
Are you bleeding or do you think your water broke?
No, it's just the contractions.
A tiny flicker of relief filled him.
It's going to be okay, Em. We'll get you to the hospital, and whatever it is, they'll fix it.
His heart shattered when she stared up at him with eyes pooling with tears.
I hope so.
Have faith.
He opened the car door and eased her down onto the seat. As soon as he shut her door, he sprinted over to the driver's side. He climbed inside and cranked up. After peeling out into the street, he glanced over at Emma. Her eyes were closed and her brows furrowed while she bit down on her lip. Taking one of his hands off the steering wheel, he grabbed up one of hers. Her eyes flew open and she stared over at him.
I'm here for you, Emma.
Thank you. I'm glad.
She squeezed his hand tight. Refusing to let go, she used her other hand to dig her phone out of her purse. She thrust it over at Aiden.
Call Casey, she murmured.
Keeping one hand on the wheel, he used his other to scroll through Emma's contacts. He braced himself for the wrath to come as his finger pressed dial. Casey answered on the third ring.
Hey, Hot Mama. Sorry I haven't had a chance to call you back yet,
she said without a hello.
This is Aiden.
A long pause came on the line.
What the hell are you doing with Em's phone? Please don't tell me you've done something truly insane to try to get her back. Because if you have, I will make sure that you go to jail for a long, long time where a very large and hairy man can make you his bitch.
She shrieked loud enough for even Emma to hear.
Casey, listen to me. I haven't kidnapped Emma. We're on our way to the ER at Wellstar.
Casey gasped.
Oh, God, what's wrong?
Aiden glanced over at Emma, whose eyes were once again pinched closed while her jaw was clenched in pain.
She's having some contractions.
She's not bleeding, is she?
No, just the contractions.
Aiden heard who he assumed was Nate talking in the background.
It sounds like a good sign that she isn't bleeding. Nate thinks it might just be Braxton Hicks, but we'll be there just as soon as we can.
Okay, can you call Connor, too?
Emma's eyes flew open, and she looked at him in shock.
Aiden figured she was amazed that he didn't have to be told to do everything, and he could actually be considerate of her feelings.
Yeah, sure.
Bye.
Casey merely hung up, so Aiden cut the call off.
Anyone else you want me to call? Virginia?
Emma shook her head.
I don't want to worry Grammy yet in case it is something like Braxton Hicks.
Okay, if you're sure.
They made the rest of the drive in tense silence. After screeching into the hospital parking lot, Aiden wheeled up to the curb at the emergency room and killed the engine. When he got out and started over to Emma's side, a security guard hustled over.
Sir, you can't park there. Look, my...
He trailed off when he realized he didn't know what to call Emma. She certainly wasn't his wife, and their relationship status didn't qualify as girlfriend either.
She's, he finally emphasized, having early contractions, so I'm getting her inside. If you don't like it, then tow my fucking car.
The security guard held up his hands.
Sorry, sir. Once you get registered, please come out and move the car. A nice Mercedes like that'll get knocked to hell at the impound lot.
Aiden growled with frustration as he held his hand out to Emma.
Fine, but I'm not coming back out here until I know both she and my kid are okay.
With his free hand, he dug $100 out of his wallet.
Watch it for me, okay?
The guard looked left and right before he hastily snatched the money.
Yes, sir.
Turning his attention back to Emma, he helped her out of the car. She grimaced as she stepped onto her feet.
Lean on me,
Aiden instructed as she took a tentative step onto the curb. With one arm wrapped around her waist, Aiden led Emma through the mechanized double doors and into the ER lobby. She gripped his hand tighter, and from the expression on her face he could tell the pain was worse.
Just a little further, Em, he said.
At the registration desk, he eased her down into a chair. When the clerk didn't come up immediately, he banged his fist on the desk.
Excuse me, but she might be in preterm labor here.
The receptionist nodded to a nurse.
We'll go ahead and take her on back.
Thank you, Aiden said.
A nurse came out of the doors with a wheelchair. Aiden helped Emma to her feet and then helped her over to sit down in the wheelchair. When he started to go back with them, the receptionist called to him.
You can't go back until we have all of her medical information.
I'm already pre-registered here through my OBGYN,
Emma muttered, through teeth gritted in pain.
Then he'll have to stay until we get the insurance information.
Aiden stared helplessly at Emma as she handed him her purse. My cards are in my wallet. He raced through the paperwork. Most of it he left blank, hoping they already had it since he didn't know it. The irony wasn't lost on him that Emma may be carrying his child, but he had no idea if she had ever had any major surgeries or childhood illnesses. Just as he started to punch the button to open up the doors, someone cleared his throat. It was the security guard.
Fuck!
Aiden cried. Several people in the waiting room looked up at him. Digging his keys from the pocket, he sprinted past the security guard and to his waiting car. Tires squealed as he pulled around the entrance and backtracked it to the available parking deck. When he got back inside, he punched the button on the authorized personnel-only doors. His gaze spun desperately around the hallway of rooms. Feeling an odd sense of deja vu from earlier in the day, he was just about to flag down a nurse when Dr. Nadine appeared before him, his face tense with worry.
She is in room 5,
he said. although he hated to say it, Aiden mumbled. Thank you. He threw open the door to find the curtain pulled. The sound of a baby's heartbeat echoed off the walls. Em? He cried.
I'm here.
He raced forward, throwing the curtain aside. At the sight of Emma in stirrups and a doctor between her legs, he froze.
Aiden,
she urged, motioning him to her side. The insistent tone in her voice caused him to move quickly. He sidestepped the doctor and went to her side. He grabbed up her hand and squeezed. I'm sorry, I had to fill out all this paperwork and then go move my car.
It's okay.
He shook his head. No, it's not. You shouldn't have had to be back here alone. You needed me. He gazed down at her. I needed to be with you.
You're here now. That's all that matters.
Aiden couldn't stop himself from leaning over and kissing her forehead. He would have to give the hospital props. They had been there barely 20 minutes, and Emma was already outfitted in a hospital gown and was being seen by a doctor. He couldn't help but wonder if it was not only the seriousness of her condition, but also Dr. Nadine that helped matters along. The doctor, whose white coat had Dr. Pendleton embroidered in blue, rose off his stool.
You can come out of these now.
Emma eased her legs out of the stirrups as Dr. Pendleton slid the table back down for her. After he tossed his rubber gloves in the trash, he turned to face them.
Even though you were expecting preterm labor, you're not dilated and your cervical plug is still intact.
At what Aiden assumed was his blank expression, Dr. Pendleton said,
Those are good factors. I'm going to have a nurse come in and administer terbutaline, which will stop the remaining contractions you're experiencing. I'll come back in and do an ultrasound to see how your baby looks. From his heartbeat, he seems to be a little agitated, but that could be from the uterine walls contracting.
He turned to go to the door.
Since your condition is now stable, I'll be back in a little while to check on you.
Aiden's legs didn't feel like they would support him any longer, so he collapsed into the chair by the bed. Relief washed over him. For the moment, it appeared that Noah was going to be okay, and in turn, Emma was as well.
Thank you, God, Emma murmured.
A commotion came outside the door.
What the?
Aiden began, before Casey and Connor burst inside the room. Chapter 6
Em!
Casey cried, hurrying over to the bedside. She wrapped her arms around Emma and squeezed tight.
What's the verdict?
For now, I'm okay and Noah's okay. Some preterm labor, but they're able to stop it.
Casey and Connor both exhaled noisily.
Thank goodness, Connor said.
A nurse interrupted by coming in to administer the shot of terbutaline. She eyed everyone before shaking her head disapprovingly.
You really shouldn't have such a crowded room. You need rest and relaxation.
Please don't make them leave. They are relaxing to me, Emma protested.
She tisked before sticking the needle into Emma's IV.
Dr. Pendleton won't like all these people in here disturbing you, and he's about to come back in to do your ultrasound.
We'll step outside for a bit,
Casey said diplomatically.
Yeah, we don't want to get you in trouble, Connor agreed.
When Aiden didn't budge, Casey shot him a look.
I'm staying with Emma and my son,
he replied tersely.
Whatever,
she snapped, before starting for the door. She and Connor were about to go out when Dr. Pendleton swept inside. They pressed themselves up against the far wall. Without a hello or an admonishment to the overcapacity room, he proceeded to do the ultrasound. Emma felt slightly comforted seeing Noah's form on the screen. His heart rate had thankfully calmed down.
He looks like he's planning on staying inside for a while, Dr. Pendleton remarked before turning off the machine.
He stood up.
While everything appears to be improving, I'm going to insist on strict bed rest for at least the next week to 2 weeks. You may lie down or sit, but your feet are only to touch the ground to use the restroom. I'd advise that you use a seat in the shower, too. Is that clear?
Emma gasped.
But my job...
Dr. Pendleton held up a finger to silence her.
Ms. Harrison, I know it seems that since we have the situation under control at the moment that all is well, but the future stability of your pregnancy rests on the care you give yourself in the next 10 days.
I understand, she murmured, trying to calm the rising panic that pricked its way like needles over her body.
As for your job, I'll fill out the necessary paperwork for you to take a leave of absence. The most important thing right now is for you to rest and limit your stress level. We don't want any more premature labor.
How long do I have to stay in the hospital? Emma questioned, her voice wavering.
I want to keep you overnight, and then you're free to go home. Let me go check on the status of moving you upstairs.
After Dr. Pendleton exited the room, Emma's emotions spiraled out of control. She tried fighting with everything in her not to totally and completely lose it at the prospect that Noah's life might still be in danger. It was too much to bear, and she couldn't stop the floodgates from opening. A strangled cry erupted from her lips, sending both Casey and Aiden racing forward to comfort her. Somehow Casey elbowed Aiden out of the way, blocking him from getting to her. A frustrated grunt came from Aiden. Casey ignored him and grabbed Emma's hand. She squeezed it tight and gave her a reassuring smile.
Don't cry, Em. It's all going to be fine. Lots of women have to go on bed rest for a while, and then the rest of their pregnancies are completely normal.
Between hiccuping sobs, she replied,
I hope so. I know so. And I'll take you to Grammy's first thing in the morning, and she'll get you through this.
Emma shook her head as tears slid down her cheeks.
I can't go to Grammy's. Granddaddy had hip replacement surgery a week ago, and she's already ragged from taking care of him. I can't put any more stress on her at her age.
Aiden cleared his throat and sidestepped Casey to stand in front of Emma.
You're coming home with me. I'm going to take care of you.
A hiss erupted from Casey. She jerked her hand away from Emma's to jab a finger in Aiden's chest.
Over my dead body?
Aiden's eyebrows shot up.
Excuse me?
Casey's nostrils flared.
You've got to be out of your fucking mind. You take care of her? You're the very reason she's in this condition.
He winced.
With Pop's episode, Emma's had a lot of stress on her today as well as in the last few weeks.
Don't you dare try to pawn this off on someone else.
Look, we all know I fucked up. Royally, even though I'd give anything to take it back, I can't. But I can make it right, and one way to prove to Emma how much I care about her is to take care of her when she needs me most.
Emma sucked in a breath at Aiden's words. She was sure one of the countless monitors she was hooked up to was about to go haywire with her accelerating heartbeat. Shock reverberated through her that he had even suggested taking care of her, least of all that he actually meant he'd do it. While deeply touched, she couldn't imagine how her frayed nerves could allow her to be so close to him. Finally, she shook her head.
I don't think...
she started. His blue eyes blazed with a steely determination.
This isn't up for discussion.
Casey snorted.
Oh, hell yes, it is up for discussion. If anyone is going to be taking care of Em, it's me, fuckwit.
Aiden's face clouded over with fury, and Emma feared he was about to truly lose his temper. His jaw clenched as he leaned closer to Casey.
You seem to forget that's my child she's carrying. He is my responsibility. You can sure as hell believe that nothing else matters more to me in this world than my son.
Glaring back at him, Casey countered,
Too bad you weren't thinking about Noah when you almost screwed that skank.
At Aiden's growl, Connor squeezed between them.
Okay, enough!
He shook his head.
Damn, you two have got to chill with the pissing contest about Em. Would you stop for a minute and think about how much you're upsetting her?
Both Aiden and Casey snapped their gaze from Connor and stared at Emma. Their attention caused her cheeks and neck to flush. Aiden's expression softened.
I'm sorry, Em. I don't want to upset you. I just want...
He ran his hand through his sandy hair.
I just want you to let me take care of you and Noah.
The sincerity in his words sent her heart fluttering again, and she hated herself for it. After nibbling on her lip, she questioned, What about your job? You can't possibly travel like you have been and take care of me.
I'll just take a leave of absence like you are.
Emma couldn't help widening her eyes.
You would do that?
Of course I would. You need me,
Aiden said, edging closer to the bed. But with your position, will they even consider granting you one? I mean, it's not like we're married.
Aiden shrugged. If they don't, then I'll just quit. You and Noah mean more to me than a job.
Casey crossed her arms over her chest in a huff.
And what if your libido kicks in one night after seeing some slut in a short skirt? Are you just going to run out on her again?
Case, Emma pleaded at the same moment Aiden snarled,
Don't fucking go there.
I cannot believe you're honestly considering letting him do this. He broke your heart, Em.
Casey cried, throwing her hands up in frustration. Emma sighed. Yes, I'm well aware of what he did, but at the moment I don't see any other choice but to accept what he's proposing. She then turned her gaze to Aiden. My house is a wreck with the move. I'd have to stay with you. His beaming smile thawed a little of the remaining chill towards him in her heart.
Of course you can. I'll put you up in my bedroom since it's downstairs and the bathroom is closest.
Thank you. I'll need some of my things. Casey, can you go with Aiden and help him pack up what I'll need?
Casey's eyes bulged like Emma had just asked her to help Satan achieve world domination.
I can't stand being in the same room with him, least of all help him paw through your things.
Emma rolled her eyes. Fine then, be an immature ass about it. I'm sure Connor will be happy to do it.
Sure thing, Emmy Lou,
Connor replied, stepping forward to thump Aiden's back. From the way he winced, Emma was sure Connor had hit him a little harder than necessary.
I appreciate that, Connor, Emma replied. Staring pointedly at Aiden, she said, Just the essentials. I won't be staying very long.
The corners of Aiden's lip curled into a self-satisfied smirk.
We'll see.
You're impossible, she muttered.
Okay, then. Guess we better head out and get started. That way everything will be ready for you when they discharge you in the morning,
Connor said. Aiden nodded.
Sounds good.
After a long, drawn-out sigh, Casey said,
Fine, I'll go with you.
Seriously?
Connor and Aiden said at the same time.
Yes,
she snapped. Connor held his hands up.
Fine, it's your funeral.
Let's face it, considering I'm the only one out of the three of us who has a vagina and knows what Em would want, you're going to need me.
With a snort, Connor said,
Yeah, well, I've known her the longest, and...
You've practically got a vagina,
Casey teased with a smile.
Har fucking har.
Emma laughed.
Would you guys knock it off and get going?
Man, you're already bossing us around,
Connor said with a grin. He nudged Aiden.
You're in for a fun 2 weeks, slave boy.
Aiden chuckled.
I don't mind. Emma can use and abuse me to her heart's content. As long as she's happy and healthy, I'll do anything she pleases.
Connor stared at Aiden for a moment and then shook his head.
Yup, you've got the love bug bad, dude. Very, very bad.
He turned back to Emma and winked. See you tomorrow, Emmy Lou. He leaned over and gave her a hug and a kiss. Before he pulled away, he whispered in her ear,
Work him hard, Em, but give him a chance, too.
I'll try.
Connor swapped places with Casey, who also gave Emma a big hug.
When I'm done, I'll come back and stay the night with you,
Casey said. Emma shook her head.
No, no, I'll be fine. It's just one night. It's not like I haven't spent a few nights in the hospital. It's just I'm usually on the other side of the bed.
Are you sure? Nate's pulling an all-nighter tonight, so I don't mind.
I'm positive. You can come in the morning or to the house tomorrow.
Casey's body went taut at the prospect of Aiden's house.
We'll see.
When Casey turned to go, she swung her massive purse around, nailing Aiden in the balls. With a groan, he doubled over, puffing out a few breaths and then sucking them in. Once he recovered, he jerked his head up. His blue eyes narrowed into slits of fury. Casey gave him a sweet smile.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My bad.
Aiden muttered under his breath, but he didn't challenge Casey. Come on, Connor said, taking Aiden's arm. Once Aiden and Connor had gone out the door, Emma called,
Case?
Glancing over her shoulder, Casey said,
Yeah?
Emma gave her a tight smile.
Be nice to him, please.
Casey sniffed a frustrated breath.
How can you ask that of me? You know how I feel about that douche nozzle.
I know, but there's more to what happened than you understand, so give him a little bit of a break.
Whirling around, Casey threw up her hands.
Damn it, Em, why do you have to be so nice and forgiving?
I didn't say I was forgiving him, I just understand more now.
At Casey's continued doubtful expression, Emma said,
Just trust me on this one.
Fine, I'll be civil, but I can't be nice.
Does civil mean you won't nail him in the balls again?
Casey gave an evil grin.
It means I'll try.
Try hard, okay?
She nodded.
Thank you.
Casey blew her a kiss before heading out the door. Throwing her head back against the pillows, Emma blew out a puff of air. Her hand went to her abdomen as she continued gazing up at the ceiling tiles.
Please, God, please watch over Noah and don't let anything bad happen to him. Nothing else in the world matters as much as delivering him healthy into this world at the right time.
Closing her eyes, Aiden's face flashed before her, sending her eyes popping back open.
And if Aiden is truly the one, soften my heart to him, or give me a sign I should move on.
Her prayers were interrupted by a nurse and an orderly.
Time to move you upstairs.
The orderly brought the wheelchair over, and Emma swung her legs out of the bed. After she sat down, she smoothed the hospital gown down over her legs. They took a quick trip up the elevator to the third floor. She couldn't help but wonder which floor Patrick was on. She made a note of her room number so she could text it to Casey and to Aiden. A sweet-faced middle-aged nurse came in just as she was getting settled into the bed.
I'm Connie, and if you need anything, you just let me know.
Emma smiled.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Once Connie and the orderly left, Emma turned on the TV to try to get her mind off of things. She was enjoying some old reruns of I Love Lucy when a gentle rap came at the door.
Yes,
she called, her brows furrowing at who would possibly be knocking. It cracked open before Pesh stuck his head in.
Hey there.
Emma inwardly groaned. He was the last person on earth she expected to see. Shooting up in the bed, she smoothed her ruffled bed hair and hoped she didn't have leftover raccoon eyes from crying.
Hi.
Wagging his finger, he made a tisking noise as he stepped into the room.
Just couldn't let Mr. Fitzgerald be outdone, huh?
Emma laughed.
No, I don't suppose so.
Motioning to the chair next to the bed, Pesh asked,
May I?
Sure.
His jovial expression suddenly grew serious.
You can't imagine how horrified I was to see your name come across the computer screen.
He shook his head.
So I was right in thinking you needed to take better care of yourself.
Unfortunately, yes. But it's not only today, though.
Emma glanced down at the Standard Order hospital blanket. The last 3 weeks have taken their toll, I suppose.
Does it have anything to do with your relationship with Mr. Fitzgerald's son?
Emma jerked her gaze from the blanket over to Pesh.
Wait, how did you...
He gave her an understanding smile.
It's a long story.
So is mine, she replied with a mirthless laugh.
At the tension in the air, Emma desperately sought to change the subject.
I thought you had gone home for the day. When I was brought in, I was hoping you would be my doctor. Dr. Pendleton's bedside manner is quite lacking.
I apologize for that.
It's not your fault he's so gruff.
No, but it's my fault that you had to see him.
What?
A sheepish grin curved on his lips.
You were assigned to my caseload, but I asked him to see you instead.
Emma gasped. But why? Ducking his head, Pesh replied,
"Because I knew I wanted to see you personally in the future, and that would be too uncomfortable for both of us if I had to..."
He drew in a sharp breath as pink tinged his tan cheeks.
"Well, if I had to examine you physically."
Understanding crashed over Emma as she thought of how thoroughly Dr. Pendleton had examined her. "Oh," she murmured. He leaned forward in his chair, his dark eyes taking on a pleading glint.
"I don't want you to think I'm a creep or something for wanting to get to know you better. It was Mr. Fitzgerald who first broached the subject."
Emma widened her eyes in horror. "He actually did that? I'm going to have to give him a piece of my mind when we're both better." When his shoulders sagged in defeat, Emma felt terrible that he appeared insulted by her words. "Oh, Pesh, I'm so sorry. It's not that I wouldn't want to go out with you." His dark eyes lit up with hope.
"Really?"
"Yes, I just can't believe that Patrick would do such a thing."
"Because of what was once between you and his son?"
"Yes, that and the fact he was laid up in the emergency room. It's not the most opportune time to be playing matchmaker."
"I guess I planted the seed when I called you beautiful."
Emma's cheeks warmed at his compliment. "Thank you." Staring down at his hands, Pesh said,
"I want you to know that taking your phone number from Mr. Fitzgerald, saying that a total stranger is beautiful, that's not who I am. I'm sure none of my colleagues would believe I had done such a thing."
"Really?" Pesh nodded.
"The truth is, I haven't reacted to a woman like I did with you in a long, long time."
"Oh?" He peeked up at her through his long dark lashes. Sorrow radiated in his eyes.
18 months ago, I lost my wife to an aneurysm."
Emma gasped. "I'm so sorry."
"You can't imagine what a helpless feeling it is to be a physician, and you can't save the woman you love most in the world."
"How old was she?" Emma tentatively asked.
"Only 35.
"That's so young." Pesh nodded.
"Jade was adopted when she was just 3. Her adoptive parents didn't know anything about her medical history. From what I've been able to gather, it could have been preventable had we known the signs and symptoms of what to look for."
At his anguished expression, Emma reached out for his hand. With a grateful smile, he slipped it into hers. "I know what it's like to lose the love of your life." Pesha's dark brows arched in surprise.
"You do?"
She nodded. 5 years ago, my fiancé was killed in a car accident."
"I'm so sorry."
An awkward silence filled the room. Finally, Pesh gave a short shake of his head.
Between your lost fiancé, your breakup, and me being a widower, I suppose we would make a tragic pair, wouldn't we?"
"People do move on," she said softly. But when she uttered the words, she was thinking more of Aiden than of Travis. Was Pesh the sign she had prayed about? Or had everything that had been thrown at her in the last 3 weeks just confused her too much?
"In the 18 months since I lost Jade, I could never imagine ever wanting to date another woman again."
He smiled at her.
"Until today."
"But why me?"
"Why not?"
"You do realize I'm 6 months pregnant, right?"
"I'll tell you the same thing I did Mr. Fitzgerald's son when he mentioned it."
Emma's cheeks burned at the mention of Aiden. She didn't even want to begin to imagine what the conversation had been like between Patrick, Aiden, and Pesh. Her mortification was interrupted by Pesh squeezing her hand.
"The fact you're pregnant has no bearing on how beautiful you are outwardly, or the kindness that radiates from within you."
Unblinking and not breathing, she stared at him in disbelief. How was it possible that a handsome, successful, compassionate man was interested in dating her when she was 6 months pregnant with another man's child? "Pesh, I'm very grateful for your flattering compliments, but my life is so very complicated at the moment."
"And I'm not helping matters with my amorous declarations, am I?"
She gave him a sad smile.
You've been through so much that you deserve true happiness. I have to be totally honest when I say I just don't know if I have anything to give you at the moment.
Pesh tilted his head to one side and thought.
What if we just tried getting to know one another as friends and see where it goes? I know you're not going to be able to get out and about much in the next few weeks, so I could come and do house calls. You know, check your vitals.
He momentarily grimaced.
That sounds completely stalkerish, doesn't it?
No, I...
It's been so long since I was in the dating game. I'm sure I'm saying and doing everything that is a major turnoff.
Emma gazed at his drop-dead gorgeous face and wondered how he could ever turn any woman off.
I would love to have you come and check on me. His eyebrows shot up in surprise.
Really?
She nodded. I'm sure after a few days stuck inside, I'd love the company as well as the medical expertise. A pleased smile cut across Pesha's face.
I would like that very much.
Me too.
The pager on Pesha's belt went off.
Guess that means I better head out.
He rose up from the chair.
So I look forward to seeing you sometime this week.
But how will you...
Pesh held his hand up.
Mr. Fitzgerald has already taken care of that.
Emma rolled her eyes but smiled in spite of herself.
Why am I not surprised?
He laughed. He once again took her hand in his and then brought it to his lips.
You better promise to take very good care of yourself.
Finding it hard to breathe, she could only murmur,
I will.
He then turned and went to the door. Just before he slipped out of it, he gave her one last wave. Once she heard the door click shut, her head fell back against the pillows. Shaking her head, she couldn't believe the insanity of the day's events. If anyone had told her the day before a gorgeous man would be asking to go on a date with her, she would have told them they were out of their mind. The same could be said for everything that had transpired at dinner with Aiden, from his admission about Amy, to his desire for her forgiveness. Exhausted from the day's events, she closed her eyes and tried to block out all of her out-of-control thoughts and fears.
Chapter 7
Around 3 in the morning, Emma's full bladder woke her up. As she swung her legs out of the bed, she froze. Warmth spread through her chest at the sight of Aiden fast asleep in the chair. Sometime during the night he had come back so she wouldn't have to stay by herself. Her heartbeat accelerated at how much he truly cared for her. Any thoughts of Pesh vanished from her mind as she sat on the bedside, staring at Aiden. His neck hung forward at a precarious angle and she knew he would have a terrible crick in it. She stood up on her wobbly legs and leaned over him.
Aiden, she murmured, bringing her hand to his cheek.
Hmm?
Wake up.
His eyes snapped open and he sprung up so fast he almost lunged into her.
What's wrong? Are you okay?
She smiled. I'm fine. I just needed to go to the bathroom and you were about to break your neck sleeping that way.
Wincing, he rolled his shoulders.
You should get a nurse to do a bedpan and stay off your feet.
She snorted.
I'm not that helpless, thank you very much. Amusement twinkled in his eyes.
Want me to carry you?
Absolutely not. The last thing I need is my soon-to-be caregiver to get a hernia from trying to lift me.
Em, you would not give me a hernia,
he replied.
Whatever, she murmured before padding into the bathroom.
After she finished and washed her hands, she came out to find Aiden already asleep again, and snoring slightly. Shaking her head, she slipped back into bed. She felt like she had barely closed her eyes when she felt someone's breath warming her cheek.
Em, wake up, sweetheart.
Fluttering her eyelids, she saw Aiden hovering over her.
What time is it?
6. I wanted to let you know I was going upstairs to be with Pop before his surgery.
Okay, tell him I love him and I'm praying for him.
I will.
He hesitated a moment before leaning over to kiss the crown of her head.
I hate to leave you,
No, you need to be with your dad.
I'll be back just as soon as I can.
Emma nodded. When he turned for the door, she said, Aiden, wait. He whirled around with his eyebrows cocked, waiting for her response. I just wanted to say thank you for staying with me last night. It really means a lot that you didn't leave me alone.
He smiled. Although you don't need to say thanks, you're more than welcome.
When he closed the door behind him, Emma laid her head back against the pillows. In no time she was asleep again until the morning breakfast trays came, rumbling around on their carts. Along with the morning meal came another nurse to check her vital signs. Emma was forcing down some of the hospital's rubbery bacon and overcooked eggs when her hospital room door swung open.
Morning, sunshine,
Casey said, sweeping inside.
Good morning.
I brought you something comfortable to go home in. Well, I guess I should have said something to go to the douche nozzle's place.
Emma rolled her eyes.
How did it go last night?
Fine. I managed not to maim him or draw blood.
I'm glad to hear you didn't cause any more physical harm. Did you spare him emotionally as well?
Casey grunted as she plopped down in the chair.
I probably said 5 words to him, tops.
Gazing around the room, she asked,
Speaking of, where is the douche canoe this morning?
Emma grunted in frustration before replying, He's with his sisters waiting to see how Patrick's surgery goes.
Ah, I see.
She had just opened her mouth to tell Casey about Aiden staying the night when Pesh entered the room.
Morning. I just wanted to check in to see how you were feeling before I started my shift.
Emma bit down on her lip to keep from laughing at Casey's expression. Open-mouthed and wide-eyed, Casey drank in Pesh's appearance from his head down to his toes. When he glanced at her, he thrust out his hand.
I'm Dr. Alpesh Nadine.
Casey Turner,
she replied. She's my best friend. Emma informed him as Casey kept staring.
It's very nice to meet you.
Sidestepping Casey, he came to Emma's side.
I'm hoping you won't think it was completely inappropriate, but I snuck a little peek at your chart this morning.
You're a total stalker, she teased. Pesh grinned, causing dimples to appear in his cheeks.
Well, with that said, everything looks good. I think once you take it easy, these next 14 days you'll be fine for the rest of your pregnancy.
I hope so.
Have faith. It's all going to be just fine.
Once again his pager interrupted them. He glanced down at it and scowled.
Guess I better get downstairs.
Thank you so much for coming by. He nodded.
I'll talk to you tomorrow and we'll iron out our dinner plans.
Dinner? He cocked his dark eyebrows at her.
You didn't think I would just come check your vitals and run out the door now, did you?
Emma felt her cheeks warming at the insinuation.
Well, no, but...
He held up a hand and smiled.
We'll talk about it later.
He turned to Casey.
Nice meeting you.
Yes, nice meeting you, too,
she replied, her gaze honing in on his ass as he walked out the door. Once they were alone, she whirled back to Emma.
Holy shit, Em! You have precisely 5 seconds to fill me in on who the hell Dr. McDreamy Bollywood is.
Emma laughed, and then she proceeded to tell Casey everything. Once she was finished, Casey shook her head slowly back and forth.
Wow! I mean, just wow!
With a dreamy sigh, Emma said, Tell me about it.
So are you going to give him a chance?
Emma shrugged.
Maybe. I think a man like that warrants a little more than a maybe.
Casey gazed longingly at the door Pesh had only moments ago exited.
I mean, incredibly good looks aside, the man is compassionate and caring and completely the opposite of the commitment-phobic dirtbag.
I'm already too stressed, Case. I can't throw in a potential new man to the mix right now. When Casey started to protest, Emma shook her head. Besides, I'm still not sure I'm ready to move on from Aiden. Casey rolled her eyes.
Seriously? You're going to let your feelings for the douche nozzle screw up a potentially amazing soulmate?
Aiden is the father of my child. I'll always love him for that fact alone, but there's still so much between us.
At Casey's tight-lipped expression, Emma said,
There's no easy black and white here, Case. It's all gray.
Besides what I still feel about him, his actions in the last 24 hours are very endearing. He's risking his job to take care of me. He came back last night so I wouldn't be alone. He's begging and pleading for my forgiveness. I can't just ignore that.
Casey's shoulders drooped in defeat.
I just don't want to see you get hurt.
I know you don't, and trust me, neither do I. But I have to at least let him try and see this thing through, or I'll always regret it.
Casey started to protest, but was interrupted by Emma's phone buzzing. She glanced down at it. Aiden's on his way up. Casey wrinkled her nose.
I'd better get a move on or I'll be late to work.
Hold down the fort for me while I'm gone.
She grinned.
Will do. You just make sure to take extra good care of yourself and Mr. Noah, so you can get back as soon as you can.
Emma smiled.
I sure will try.
Casey leaned over and gave Emma a quick hug and a kiss.
I'll be over to see you soon.
Good.
As Casey started out the door, Aiden breezed in. He flinched and pushed himself as far away from her and her pocketbook as he could.
Easy, Big Papa. Your boys are safe this morning.
He sighed in relief.
I'm glad to hear it. They're still a bit traumatized from last night.
Throwing a glance over her shoulder, Casey winked at Emma.
Bye.
Emma waved before turning her attention to Aiden.
How's Patrick?
Good, Aiden replied.
Emma sighed in relief.
Thank God.
You'll be happy to know the first thing he did when he got back to his room was ask about you.
Tears welled in Emma's eyes.
Really?
Aiden nodded.
He said to give you and Noah his love and he would be over to see you just as soon as he got sprung out.
Emma laughed and wiped her eyes.
That's so sweet.
Yes, sweetness runs in the Fitzgerald DNA, especially with the males, Aiden mused.
She shot him an exasperated look.
Isn't it a little early for you to be this cocky?
Aiden chuckled as a nurse came into the room with Emma's discharge papers. Once she had signed everything, Aiden said,
Guess that means we get to hit the road, huh?
Emma nodded and started to get out of the bed. As soon as I changed clothes and run a brush through my hair. Aiden's brows furrowed.
Don't stand too long while you're changing. Sit on the edge of the tub with the toilet seat.
Emma huffed out an exasperated breath. Are you going to be this overprotective when we get to your house? He bobbed his head.
Yup, at least until I know you and Noah are out of the woods.
Her frustration evaporated a little at his sincerity.
Okay, I'll sit down while I get dressed.
After she padded into the bathroom, she happily tore off the hospital gown and then threw on the yoga pants and long-sleeve shirt Casey had brought. She then slid her somewhat swollen feet into the size bigger tennis shoes she recently had to purchase. She pulled her long hair back into a ponytail. When she was done, she came out to find a nurse waiting with a wheelchair. She eased down in it while Aiden grabbed the bag Casey had brought along with her purse. The nurse then wheeled her down the hallway to the elevator.
Make sure you read your discharge papers about what to do and not to do. It also indicates when you need to go back to see your doctor.
Before Emma could respond, Aiden replied,
I'll make sure she does.
The nurse gave Aiden a big smile.
I bet you're going to take very good care of her.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be giving her lots of TLC.
When Emma cocked her head at him, he winked. Once they got to the lobby downstairs, the nurse said,
We'll wait here while your husband goes and gets the car.
Emma made a slight strangled noise while Aiden skidded to a stop.
Okay,
she finally squeaked. Aiden cut his eyes over to her before jogging out to the parking lot. It didn't take him long to return with the car.
Good luck,
the nurse said before she closed the car door.
Thanks,
Emma replied. She quickly buckled her seatbelt and turned to Aiden.
Okay, then.
As they pulled out of the parking lot, Aiden said,
There's someone else who is very anxious to see you.
Oh?
He took his gaze off the road and grinned at her.
Beau?
Emma laughed. I hope you brought him home last night.
I thought his home was your house.
His original home?
Ah, then yes, I did. Of course, he kept circling through the rooms looking for you.
Poor baby.
I'm sure he'll be more than ready to share your bed and your leftovers when you get there.
She grinned. I hate sleeping alone, so I'll be thrilled to have him as my bed buddy again. Aiden opened his mouth to say something, but then closed it.
What?
She asked.
Nothing.
Since she sensed his comment dealt with offering his services as her bed buddy, she decided to drop it. When they turned on Aiden Street, Emma's chest clenched as she was enveloped by a mixture of both happy and painful memories. As he pulled into the driveway, she couldn't help but flash back to the night she had found both his car and another's. When he killed the engine, he glanced over at her.
Why don't you sit tight while I go unlock the door so you don't have to wait?
She shot him a look. Aiden, I think I can stand for 2 seconds while you open the door.
Fine, he grumbled.
She couldn't believe how extreme he was taking her bed rest. 1 minute it was infuriating and the next it was endearing. She just hoped her hormones would allow her to appreciate him rather than verbally berate him. The next thing she knew, Aiden had moved like lightning from the car and through the garage, so by the time her slow-moving form reached the door, he had it unlocked and opened.
Nice footwork, Speedy, she remarked.
You're welcome.
Beau came yipping into the kitchen.
Hey, boy, did you miss me?
He whined and then nudged her belly.
Aw, we're both okay. I just have to take it easy, she informed him.
Speaking of taking it easy, let's get you on to bed.
You're so bossy, she replied as she padded down the hallway.
When she entered Aiden's bedroom, she gasped. The quilt Grammy had made her when she was a little girl was draped over the bed, while the antique silver-framed pictures of her parents sat on the nightstand. Her glider and ottoman rested to the right side of the bed. She turned back to him, unable to hide her surprise.
Did Casey suggest this?
No,
he murmured. Her heartbeat broke into a wild sprint.
You mean you did this for me?
Yeah, I did.
Aiden rubbed his neck furiously when she continued staring at him.
Casey got your essentials and all, but I thought you needed some things to make you feel more at home here, even if you say you aren't staying long.
She couldn't breathe, let alone speak.
Oh, God, why did he have to be so amazing?
Every time he did something caring and compassionate, it almost broke her heart instead of warming it. It was like throwing it in her face once again, that besides the one glaring mistake he had made, at his very core he was a good man, one who deserved to earn her forgiveness. Emma took a few tentative steps over to him. Standing before him, she stared into his questioning blue eyes. She leaned in and gave him a hug.
Thank you, Aiden. This means so much to me.
He quickly wrapped his arms around her. She closed her eyes and let the feeling of comfort and even love wash over her. His warm breath tickled the skin on her earlobe.
I'm glad you like it. I want to do anything and everything I can to make you happy.
Well, this was a wonderfully amazing start.
You're welcome.
She could hear the pleasure vibrating in his voice.
So do you want to rest for a while, or I could fix you an early lunch?
Actually, I'd kill for a shower. I feel pretty disgusting.
Aiden nodded.
I picked up the seat from the medical supply store. Let me go get it ready for you.
Great. I'm going to feel 80 years old, she grumbled, trailing behind him into the bathroom.
She skidded to a stop at the side of her favorite robe hung over the door and all her toiletries and makeup laid out on the counter. Aiden put the toilet lid down and motioned for her to sit.
You don't need to be on your feet, remember?
With a sigh, she obliged him and sat down. It didn't take Aiden long to get the seat up. After he turned on the water and adjusted the temperature, he glanced over his shoulder at her.
Okay, then. You're all set.
Thank you. When Emma didn't move, Aiden's brows creased in worry.
You need some help?
The very thought of him seeing her naked again sent a stinging rush of warmth across her cheeks. She shook her head back and forth furiously. I can handle it.
Fine, he replied.
When the door closed behind Aiden, Emma's fingers went to the hem of her shirt and then froze. Her gaze honed in on the shower seat. A flashback of the later days of her mother's cancer battle assaulted her. Her mother's ravaged form trying desperately to get in and out of the shower flashed in her mind, and she shuddered. That vision, coupled with everything she had been through in the last 24 hours, sent her emotions careening out of control. Most of all, fear still hung heavy around her. It was like a silent specter in the room, mocking her that her perfect dream of having a child would actually come true. Just the thought of losing Noah sent a chilling shiver reverberating through her. Burying her head in her hands, she wept unabashedly. Even though she knew she shouldn't, she let the sobs roll through her. At the bathroom door cracking open, she froze.
Em, are you all right?
I'm fine, she replied forcefully, but her wavering voice betrayed her. Aiden stepped inside. She tried to hide the trembling of her body as he tentatively walked across the tiled floor. Peeking up at him through her fingers, she took in his worried expression at the sight of her, still sitting on the toilet.
Why aren't you showering?
Kneeling down in front of her, he took her chin in his fingers, raising her head to meet his gaze.
Em, you've got to stop crying. It isn't good for you or Noah.
I'm sorry, she whispered hoarsely. He brought his other hand up to cup her face.
You don't need to apologize. You're here with me now and everything is going to be okay.
Furiously, she shook her head. But don't you see? Everything is not okay.
I know, but
it's easy to stand there and tell me not to get upset, but you have no idea what I'm going through at the moment, she shrieked.
He cast his blue eyes downward. I realize that, Em.
She swiped her cheeks with the backs of her hand. Every minute, every second, I can't help thinking of it all falling apart. I'm so scared something bad is going to happen to Noah. I've lost everyone I've ever loved. I can't lose him, too.
Her chest heaved as another racking sob rolled through her.
Without hesitation, Aiden drew her into his strong embrace. She should have shrugged him away. Being close to him when she was so emotionally broken was playing with fire. But she was so very tired of being alone all the time and having to bear every burden on her own. Aiden had enough strength for the both of them, and just being held in his arms sent comfort pulsing through her. Grabbing him around the back, she fisted his shirt in her hands, hanging on for dear life. Aiden's lips warmed against her ear, causing her to shiver.
Shh, please, sweetheart, don't cry, he crooned in her ear. I'm here for you, and we're going to get through this together.
His words reassured her, and for both him and for Noah, she tried composing herself. When her cries began to quiet, Aiden pulled away and stared intently at her. His blue eyes blazed with intensity.
Listen to me. You have every right to be scared, but I want you to believe me when I say that Noah is going to be fine. He's blessed with some strong-as-hell genes.
Placing his hand on her belly, he smiled.
He's part Fitzgerald, and for generations the men of my family have been known for being tough, scrappy fighters with a will of iron to survive.
Really? She questioned with a hiccup. Aiden nodded.
But even more than the fighting Irish Fitzgerald blood pumping through him, he's inherited the most amazing DNA from his mother. She's the strongest person I've ever known.
His words, coupled with the sincerity in which he spoke them, caused a burning wildfire in her chest. Oh, Aiden, she murmured.
He brushed her hair out of her face.
You just have to keep being strong, Em. That fire that burns so deep within you, the one that's seen you through the darkest times, you've got to stoke it to burn a little brighter.
I'll try.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
He rose up off the floor.
Now come on, all the hot water's going to be gone before you get cleaned up.
When he tore his shirt off over his head, she widened her eyes. What are you doing?
Taking my shirt off? I don't want to get drenched helping you take a shower.
Her head shook wildly from side to side.
I don't need your help.
You're exhausted, Em. Just let me help you, okay? I don't think that's a good idea.
And why not?
Heat flooded her cheeks.
Because you'll see me.
A playful grin curved on his lips.
Have you forgotten that I'm well acquainted with every beautiful inch of your body?
She stared down at her hands in her lap.
No, but it was different then. We were different then.
The feel of his intense stare made her finally look up.
And it's different now because I'm not going to devour you when I see you naked. I'm going to take care of you. There are more levels of intimacy than just sex, Emma.
I know, she whispered.
So let me help you.
She exhaled a defeated breath and nodded. Will you turn the chair around so I'm not facing you? An amused glint twinkled in his eyes.
Yes, Miss Modest, I can.
For your information, there's more of me than the last time you saw me, she argued as he adjusted the seat.
He turned around and shrugged. I doubt that. Besides, you're still just as beautiful as the first time I saw you.
Always the flirt, aren't you? She replied with a grin.
Just stating the facts, ma'am.
Aiden's hands then reached for the hem of her shirt. Instead of protesting, she let him pull it over her head. His gaze hovered over her cleavage a little longer than it should have before he tossed her shirt onto the wicker hamper.
Stand up, he instructed.
You're so bossy.
And you're so damn stubborn,
he countered as he pulled her pants down. Left in only her underwear, she shivered. As if to even the playing field, Aiden's fingers went to his fly and took his pants off as well. His eyes met hers as she brought her arms around her back and unfastened her bra. After it slid to the floor, she wrapped her arms around her breasts.
Oh, Em, seriously? Quit acting like I'm some pervert getting off at this.
That little flicker of hellfire sparked within her at his exasperation. Her hands then went to the waistband of her underwear, and she ripped the panties down her thighs as best she could, with her belly getting in the way. Meeting his surprised gaze, she strode over to the shower and sat down in the chair.
I'd like my vanilla body wash, please, and the pink sponge. Thank you.
His chuckle echoed off the bathroom walls. Sticking his hand in the shower, he gave her the body wash.
I already put your shampoo in there.
He closed the shower door behind him. Emma didn't dare glance back to see if he dropped his boxers or not.
Want me to wash your hair?
You seriously want to do that?
Of course. Besides, it's not like you're going to let me wash the good parts anyway.
A giggle escaped her lips. I thought you were going to behave, she protested.
I am. That's why I want to keep my hands busy with your hair.
Fine, then.
Taking the shower nozzle, he brought it to her head, soaking her hair. Once it was fully wet, he squirted the peach-smelling shampoo in one hand and then worked up a lather. She couldn't help moaning as his fingers massaged her scalp.
Oh, God, that feels so good.
I'm glad you like it. If I end up getting fired for taking this time off, maybe I have a future in cosmetology.
Emma laughed.
I can't quite see you doing hair for a living.
Me either.
You know, you washing my hair like this reminds me of Out of Africa, when Robert Redford washes Meryl Streep's hair,
Emma remarked.
My mom loved that movie.
Really?
Aiden laughed as he started rinsing her hair.
Yeah, she loved anything with Robert Redford. She used to say he reminded her of a blonde-haired version of Pop.
Oh, my God. Now that I think of it, Patrick does look a little like Robert Redford.
I can't believe he hasn't already mentioned it to you. It used to give him a big head.
Hmm, an inflated ego? Sounds like a Fitzgerald family trait.
Ha ha, he replied.
When Aiden's fingers ran over the ridge of her scar, she tensed.
Em? What's this?
The sponge she had been bathing with fell from her hands and onto the tile floor. It's nothing, just an old war wound.
It doesn't feel like nothing.
Aiden's hand left her head and came to rest on her shoulder.
Tell me.
She hugged her arms around her chest.
It's a reminder of a very painful time in my life when I did something very stupid.
When Aiden's hand remained frozen on her shoulder, she sighed. After my mother died, I was so alone. My grief for Travis was still very fresh. There was no husband, no father, no mother. I couldn't see through the dark clouds that I still had Grammy and Granddaddy. A tremble ran through her body as she let the skeletons of her past dance precariously around her. One night when I was in the mountains, I got up in the middle of the night and got into the car. I started flying over those curvy roads, hoping another car would come along and I could end it all.
Oh, God, Aiden muttered. His hand squeezed her shoulders tight.
She glanced back at him. I slammed into a tree instead, and even though it totaled the car and gave me that horrific scar, I walked away.
Was that the only time you tried to...
She could tell he couldn't bear to say the words. Emma gave a quick nod. After that night, I knew it was meant for me to stay alive, to try to live a happy life for my parents and for Travis. I found a really good therapist, and she, along with my family and my faith, helped me through it.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
He leaned over and planted a kiss on the crown of her wet head.
You're the most amazing woman I've ever met.
I don't know about that.
You really are.
What I did was really stupid and selfish and...
Aiden shook his head. I'm not going to judge you, Em. I've never had to go through the hell that you have. I'm just glad you're here.
Thank you. He turned off the water. Glancing back at her, he asked,
All clean?
She laughed. Yes, all clean. He opened the shower door and went over to get her a towel and her robe. She was glad to see he still had on his underwear. Although with it soaked through, she had a very fine view of the imprint of his ass. Rolling her eyes at her out-of-control hormones, she turned her gaze back to the tile. When he handed her the towel, she started drying off her arms and legs. He pulled her hair up and wrapped another towel around her head.
Are you getting hungry?
Mm-hmm, she murmured as she slid into her robe.
What sounds good?
She arched her brows in surprise. You'll fix anything I want?
Yep, or go out and pick it up.
How about some of your shrimp scampi? Aiden nodded.
While you're drying your hair, I'll fix it and bring it to you.
Are you going to bring it on a silver tray with a rosebud and a crystal vase? She asked with a grin.
Always that mouth,
he muttered as he headed out of the bathroom. Emma giggled as she got out her hairdryer. She eased down on the toilet seat before Aiden could order her to do it. Once her hair was dry, she slid into a pair of pajamas and got into the bed. Beau happily climbed up beside her. She eyed a stack of books on the nightstand before reading through the titles. They were predominantly nonfiction self-help books. She picked up one of her favorites, Tuesdays with Maury, and began rereading. Aiden appeared a little while later with a tray with two plates and two drinks, but sans the crystal vase and rose. She sniffed appreciatively. Oh, God, that smells so good.
Thank you.
She eased up in bed and took the tray. As Aiden grabbed his plate, she motioned to the nightstand. What's up with the reading material? She asked. Pink tinged his cheeks.
Oh, well, those were recommended by my therapist.
Emma choked on the bite of scampi she had taken. Once she recovered, she asked, You're in therapy? He nodded,
turning his head from her intense gaze as he sat down in the glider.
How long have you been seeing a therapist?
Staring at his plate, he nudged a piece of shrimp around with his fork.
Do you even have to ask?